Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, I'm going to just a couple of quick announcements while the offering is going. We have in the back left corner back here, we have prayer request forms. And I am looking for, we have corporate prayer here every Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9. And I've had it on my heart to have you guys bring in names of family, friends, neighbors, whatever, that don't know the Lord. And we're going to begin to pray for them on Sunday mornings. Church is more than just, much of church is discipling people and helping them get to know and understand and grow in their relationship with the Lord. But a big part of church is seeing those that don't know the Lord come to the knowledge of the Lord and experience Him, not just knowledge, I don't know if that's the best term, but experience a living God and experience salvation through Jesus Christ and experience the power of the Holy Spirit and the life-changing power of a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. And sometimes, you know, people end up coming to churches that were raised in denominational churches that were kind of dead, and then they get into a church that's alive, and it's like being born again. You know what I mean? So that being said, we're always, you know, we want to believe God for people to come in that don't know the Lord. And, you know, we're going to become a more and more a church where we see people come to know the Lord that are lost. So if you would fill those out, if you want to fill one out after service, you can leave it there filled out on the table and we'll get them all. If you want to take it home and pray about it, fill it out and bring it back to us Wednesday or next Sunday, that's fine. Progress on the building so far, you guys saw some pictures on Facebook, but if you're friends with me anyway, we cleared out the old stage. It was actually a three-tier stage. So the first, I think it's maybe four steps up. And then it went back and stepped up again, and then it went back and stepped up again. So I guess if they had a choir or something like that, they had that. So we basically reduced it to about this size. It might be a little bit taller than this. It's about average, but the stage is much bigger. And some blessings in that were we were able to reuse a lot of the wood. And then also we found in the basement a whole bunch of decking for the stage that they just left. I mean, the church left, and they left so much stuff. I mean, it's amazing all the stuff. So, but anyway, and we got to buy that. There's nothing like buying somebody's stuff. Anyway, so we cleaned out a bunch of it, but we found a bunch of decking, which saved us, I don't know, $300 or $400 on the decking of that stage. So that's a blessing. You know, sometimes financial harvest to you is you get the car for $5,000 less than what you thought you were going to pay for it. Does that make sense? You get the house for, you know, $20,000 less than, or, and sometimes it's somebody walking up to you and handing you a check. People say, well, that's never happened to me. You should expect some things. A while back, did you share that testimony this morning about us? A while back, somebody messaged me, I'm going to send you some money. I said, for what? I messaged him back. Because sometimes, you know, when people associate the church with me, so is it for the church? You know, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm not like, don't send it to me, you know. Who? What knucklehead? We lay hands on you, man, huh? Anyway, so he sent us a check, and I mean, I didn't know how much it was going to be, but $2,000 in the mail. You say, why would that happen? I've given $2,000 to people. You sow a seed. Come on, when you plant a corn seed, what happens? You get one corn seed back, and it's just this terrible repetitive process. You never can eat, and you never... Come on, that's not how God operates. Plant a seed, you get a harvest. And that works in every area. I mean, it's not just finances. If you want to be loved, sow love. If you want to have friends, be friendly. Amen? Right? I don't know why I don't have any friends. Nobody ever talks to me. I can tell you why. Moving on. So that saved us some money, which was great. I called a friend of mine, actually my neighbor. There are neighbors. He owns an electrical company and called Faith Electric. Called them in to look at our electrical and stuff like that and talk to them about doing because we're going to build a sound booth there and stuff like that. And so we're working on ways. Some of the sound issues that we end up having here in this building is because there's not enough clean power for all the equipment. And this building is old. And so we run into issues. And so he's showing me, he said, Sean, we can do this, we can do this. And I said, well, how many days would it take you? He said, once the sound booth is built, it'll take me 2 days. Because he'll come in with his crew and they'll just do it. I said, okay, put together a bid for me. Because see, I don't call people in and go, can you do it for the church, please? You know? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. I will never beg for money. No chance. Because I don't look at humans as my source. God is my source. Now, if I had not proven this a few times, I might be a little scared to say that. But there are many in this church that have done it with us. But we've proven these principles. They work. Sometimes it feels like Pharaoh's horse is breathing down the back of your neck and the water hasn't split yet. But if you hold the line in faith, it'll split and Pharaoh will drown. Right? All right. So anyway, we're going through it and he's like, well, he said, only materials. I said, what? And he goes, only materials. I'm only going to charge you materials. And I said, well, how much are materials? You know? And he said, I said, figure out how much it is because we have a church board. We don't just, you know. So, and he goes, tell him $400. Now, here's the thing. That's a blessing. Because I don't know how much you know how much an electrician is an hour. Okay? So that's a huge blessing. Because he's going to put in like a 50-amp breaker down in our breaker box, run channel all the way up to our sound booth, and put a breaker box in the sound booth. And then run the electrical to the stage off that breaker box so everything will be clean sound, and then we're going to recess electrical and everything down inside the stage so that all of it will be clean. And Josh Meeks right now is just doing backflips inside. He is, the joy of the Lord is all over him. Many times we've had conversations. Well, if we just get these cords apart, maybe we need to put a ground rod in out here. I mean, we've talked about it all. So we're always looking for ways to do better for the Lord, amen? Because none of this is about us, it's about Him. We just get to be along for the ride, and I enjoy the ride. The other thing I was going to tell you is this coming Saturday, the 16th, we'll again have a clean and work day at the church from 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Bring a lunch or something with you to snack on if you want a snack or whatever, and then something to drink so that you can have that at the noon time. And if you can come just for any amount of time, you know, if you don't have all day, just come for a little bit. We'll put you to work for an hour and make you sweat and send you home. It'll be a blessing. I love sweating for Jesus, right? Amen. So anyway, we're going to do more work over there. And then you'll get a chance to see the building and see everything that God's doing. One other thing, and I want to say this in conjunction with what Mike had said about giving. Make sure you're expecting something to come to you. You say, what do you mean? If you sow corn, you expect corn. If you sow wheat, you expect wheat. If you sow barley, you expect barley. If you sow beets, what do you want? Beets. If you sow carrots, carrot seed, what do you get? Carrots. Carrot seeds don't ever produce apple trees. Never. Contrary to what evolution might tell you, it never happens, and it never will. But if you sow financial seed, what should you expect? Well, I don't know if I believe in that prosperity message. Well, come see me afterwards, and I'll give you multiple scriptures. And I'm not talking about the false prosperity message either. Okay? But you should expect something back, because God said it would come back. And let me help you with something. It is just as much disobedience if you don't sow as it is if you don't believe for a harvest. I know that's a tough pill to swallow because we've been religiously brainwashed instead of scripturally taught. But it's the truth. Let me help you. We're not a charity. We're not a charity. I'm not the Red Cross. Amen. The Faith Family Church is not the Red Cross. We're not the, well, you don't want to help people? Yeah, we'll help people. Man, we'll do a better job than them. Then those other groups. Have you ever seen how much the heads of those corporations make and how much of your money actually goes to what's going on? Go to Samaritan's Purse. Go to Kenneth Copeland. Go to somebody who's actually going to put the money, the majority of it, into what's going on. Don't give to the big government infested agencies, okay? Because they're taking, they are scamming people. Oh my goodness. It's demonic. What they're doing. It's demonic. They could care less about those people. It's about lining pockets. I know they'll get the biggest rock stars and they'll get the most famous person singing about, you know, in the arms of an angel and show you the most miserable picture of a dog or something you've ever seen in your life, and all your emotion will rise up and you'll go, I gotta give, and that's just emotion. Okay? All right? We don't do it that way, okay? We don't do it that way. We are led by the Spirit of God, and we do things according to the Spirit of God. And it makes all the difference in the world when you do it God's way, because more gets to the people. Plus, you know what, guys? They're not just getting financial relief or natural things. They're getting ministered to by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. And you say, through the Baptist? I said, yeah, through the Baptist. Glory to God. God can move through anybody that's willing to let Him move through them. Amen? And so, we love Him. So expect a harvest, guys. Don't just sit back and go, well, you know, God's going to do what He's going to do. That's not what the Word says. God will do what you expect according to His Word. Amen. Amen? It's good stuff, right? It challenged me. Well, welcome to the church. You ought to be challenged at church. If you weren't challenged, then something's gone awry. Let's go to John 16:33. We're going to talk about trouble. When I got the title for this message, I thought of a few country songs. But I decided not to play any of them this morning. John 16. Nope, not going to sing them. I might have Shane get up and sing a few. Uh-oh. I'll send you the chords this week. We can start out next week. Yeah. No, I just, there's so much, you know, there's so much trouble in the earth. And this is, I was praying about what to teach on and what to minister to you guys on. And I just felt like, the Lord kind of brought back to my mind how many times I've quoted this scripture in the last few months. And I've quoted it a lot because we're a word of faith church, okay? And sometimes people have different ideas about that, what that is. I know some denominations have attacked it like crazy. Others just leave it alone. You know, they just wouldn't recommend it. But Paul said he preached the word of faith. And so it's important that we understand it. But sometimes you get this sense, and I've gotten it before too, and I try and be careful and balanced in it. But sometimes when you're watching certain ministries that carry themselves along this line, you might get the impression that you're never going to have any issues if you really obey God's word and follow His word. And I've talked about this before. The reality is, guys, is that you're in the earth and you're going to have trouble. You're going to have situations that you have to face. How many are married? Then you know this verse applies. Because it's just, you know, and sometimes people think, well, how am I going to make all the problems go away? No. We walk through them. There's no prayer that I can pray that will make all your problems go away. It's not going to happen. See the issue is not whether or not you're going to have problems. The issue is, are you going to walk through them by faith, or are you going to walk through them and hope you make it? Are you going to yield to God's word and obey Him and do what He says and allow Him to work in your life? Or are you going to just kind of lump along through life and hope you make it in spite of what happens? Faith and the scriptures and what Christianity is a whole lot more than fire insurance. In other words, you didn't just get saved and now you get to go to heaven when you die. You know, I mean, if that was all there was, I'd be in. You know what I mean? Because eternity is a long time, and I'm not interested in hell, all right? I've seen enough fires around here for a while, all right, let alone live in one. I'm not going to do that. It would be enough, but God is so merciful and good that He gave us promises, truths, scriptures, things, power from the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us the ability to walk through troubles that we are going to face in this life. And so we don't need to be, if you have the mentality, or you've had it in your, you know, in yourself, or trained in yourself, or trained in your mind, or the thought process has been built up in your mind that you shouldn't have to face issues, then you've believed a lie as a Christian. As a Christian, you're going to have to face stuff. The real blessing of Christianity is that you don't have to face it alone. And you can realize that what you are facing is so much smaller than your God. And this is where Christianity, and this is where Christians that are born again, people that are born again, really begin to step into growth in their life. I've noticed in my own life, the Lord will allow me to be in situations, whether it be work or family or all these things, that challenge me. You know, sometimes people think, well, see, God's got the whole thing planned out. In general, yes. In specifics, not necessarily. In other words, God didn't plan all the trouble we have. Adam and Eve sinned because they didn't listen to God, and then the devil got in, and now it is what it is. And there are two forces working. And so I'll be in situations, and sometimes from my natural thinking, from my natural feeling, from my natural desires, I want to look at God and go, God, just make them go away. Lord, I just, you know, my answer is a new location on the planet. But you know what I found out? No matter how much I move, whether it's the house, the job, whatever, I'm still there. And you know what's interesting? Even though what's annoying or irritating or challenging at the other job had a different face and voice, it finds a new one in the new place. Why? Because the problem is not the external stuff, it's I need to grow up. I need to change. If I've heard from the Lord about what I'm supposed to do, if I've heard from the Lord about where I'm at in my life and I'm in the place that He has for me, then I need to look at what's in front of me and go, okay, God, how do I need to develop in responding out of the grace You've given me to walk through this in Your victory? Does that make sense? And when we do that, it's like that person or that situation just doesn't even almost exist anymore. It's not that we're not having to deal with it. It's not that it isn't still a challenge. It's just we've developed or walked into a place of strength that is supernatural. It's beyond what you can do on your own. It's wisdom for words that you can't think of in your own mind. It's wisdom in ways to say things and do things that you just can't come up with on your own because you're not able. But when you get into the place of obedience with God, then all of a sudden you've opened this door where you're submitted to Him, where the promises of God through the Comforter, through the Holy Spirit, now are flowing out of you into every situation that you're facing. And it's an amazing place. And it's a place of grace and really maturity in the Lord. So John 16:33 says this in the New King James Version. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Where's our peace? According to that scripture, it's in Him. So why do we look for it somewhere else? It isn't at the bottom of the bottle. You won't find it. I tried to find it at the bottom of the bottle and the bottom of the pipe. And I'm not talking about tobacco. It isn't there. Oh, sure, I forgot who I was for a few hours. But I didn't find peace. Well, if I just had a different whatever, vehicle, job, relationship, nope, ain't there either. Jesus said that your peace, your soundness, your wholeness, your rest, your everything is found in Him. And that's where it will be. Well, if I just had different parents. Nope. The new ones would irritate you. I tell my kids all the time, if you don't like your parents, you should have prayed for different ones. You say they can't do that. Exactly. I put them between a rock and a hard place. Jesus said, in the world... Somebody read it with me. You will have... Oh, no, Jesus, you didn't mean that. No, that's not for us. That's not my verse. He is the truth. But I don't want it to be... It doesn't matter whether you want it to be that way or not. The devil's in the earth. He be here. And working. How many have noticed? I mean, he is on the move. Why? He knows that when the Lord returns, his number's up and he gets no more time. So our goal is to hasten the return of the Lord. So we don't have to have him around anymore. Glory to God. You say, what will that be like? The Garden of Eden, before Adam and Eve sinned. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of... What? That just seems like Jesus didn't go through the psychology classes that we have today. That just seems contradictory. Or it's faith. Why can you have good cheer? Jesus, has what? The world. All of it. All of it. All of it. See, a lot of times people can't understand the be of good cheer section because they're mentally and emotionally and in their conversation, they're too attached to in the world you will have tribulation. See, they didn't keep going. They didn't get attached to, I have overcome the world. So whatever has your focus has your faith. And whatever has your faith has your thoughts, your emotions, and your words. And whatever has your words is now perpetuating whatever you're saying. So you get in the middle of your tribulation, you get in the middle of your trouble, and you start talking about the trouble and talking about the problem and talking and focusing and thinking about the problem. And the problem is there, and the problem is big, and the problem, and the problem, and the problem, and the problem. And Jesus is going, I overcame it. Talk about me being your deliverer. Talk about me not just standing with you, but walking you through the valley of the shadow of death. You notice Psalms 23 doesn't have a pitch a tent and camp there verse. No, it's not there. There's no Cabela's advertisement in the middle. It doesn't. But some people have done that. And that's why you're frustrated. And that's why your peace is gone. Whether it's you or me, in order to experience that, we got to obey the verses. And people will do this. People will exalt their circumstance above what God said. I've done it. How many have done that before? Because why? Because you feel it. It's around you. It's talking to you. It doesn't even have to have a human voice. It's talking to you. How many noticed that circumstances, troubles, they just talk to you? What are you going to do? And I don't know if you've ever done this. How many have thought something and finished the rest of the thought out loud? And then somebody walked in and goes, what? I've done that. Because I think, you know, scientifically they've proven that we talk to ourselves a bunch in a day. And I'm not talking about just a few people. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. But have you noticed that your mind can get so full of a problem that you're just saying things? And you're like, what? Where did that come from? Because that doesn't sound like what the Lord said about me. See, we can face the tribulation from the resource of heaven or from the resource of hell. And they both have resources, and they're both offering things. All day long. We have to choose. We have to choose by faith. And faith is an act. It's a choice. Lord, I choose to be happy. I choose to have my peace in you. I choose to believe that you have overcome already the situation that I'm facing and that I'm going through it. And I will see wholeness on the other side of this. What looks like is tearing me apart is not going to tear me apart because I'm an overcomer through you. And in you and by your power, and I know you're good and I know you love me, and I'm not going to think about everything I've done wrong, and I'm not going to let the devil tell me everything I've done wrong. I'm going to think about what you said, and I'm going to live in your peace, your wholeness, your rest, your victory. You've already overcome this situation, and I'd just like to declare to the situation, you've already been defeated because Jesus has already been raised from the dead. I'm walking right through you. You mountain, you are getting up, you are going into the sea, and you ain't coming back. And then when it's all said and done, I'm going to tell as many people as I can who don't know the Lord about what the devil couldn't do in my life and about how Jesus taught me how to overcome. And then I'm going to give it to them and they can overcome with it as well. That is the Holy Ghost response to a tribulation. Right? That's his response. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23 and 24. He said, you see that mountain, boys? If you believe in your heart and declare with your mouth and you say, be lifted up and cast into the sea, it'll be lifted up and cast into the sea. Mountain. Most of the struggle that Christians have is just staying with it. And you know why that is, right? It's because we don't tap into the steadfastness of the Lord. Because there is a strength in you that came about in the resurrection of Christ when you received Him that is unstoppable. And see, what we do is, again, we check the resources of ourselves instead of the resources of heaven. And then we try and run into the battle with our own made-up armor, which doesn't work anyway. You know? I mean, really, it is literally, how many have ever seen real armor before? How many have ever seen kids try to play with cardboard armor? You know, when you run into problems with your own ideas and ways, it's cardboard. I mean, you may look the part, but you know, cardboard doesn't penetrate. If you go to stab somebody. You got to show up with His promises. It's not on you to be your strength. It's on you to receive His. Right? It's on you to receive His. It's on you to receive His. In other words, the supply is there. Take it. Take it. Take it. Receive it. Act like it's so. Just believe it. I believe. I mean, you can take this scripture all this week and go, Lord, You spoke to me. You said that I have peace in You. Therefore, I have it. Lord, You said I could have good cheer, be happy in You. I take it. You said You've overcome the world. I take it. And you can choose it. That's how you got born again. You heard a verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What did you do? You heard it and you said, that's mine, I take it. And then what happened? The Holy Spirit changed your insides. And your spirit was born again and you went, whoa, what is this? The problem is, much of the church has said, now that's it, good luck. Poof. I'm getting my brains beat out. I know. We don't understand the will of the Lord. That's because you only read two verses. And now you're in a mess. And people, what people do is they substitute prayer for knowledge. And then when they try and pray, they pray ignorantly because they don't have any knowledge because they didn't read any other verses. Or they read it and said, that all died with the apostles. No, God didn't die. He's alive. His promises are true. And they work today, just like they always have. And they'll work for you. And people go, well, I'm just not that smart. You don't need to be smart. You just need to have faith. I mean, you could. I've been watching this series of things on some old revivalists that just rocked the world for God. Some of them had like a third grade education. And I'm talking, they had meetings with 20,000 people showing up around the world. Come on, Smith Wigglesworth learned how to read by reading the Bible. And he was long on in life before he learned how to read. His wife taught him through the Bible. I think he only ever read the Bible. He was not educated, but he believed. None of us can wrap our pea brain minds around God. It's just going to flip your brain out. Your brain is not the issue. Your heart. Believe. 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 Be open. Say, Holy Spirit, show me. I don't understand it. It's like the guy that wanted to get saved. I heard this story, and he was a hick from the sticks. I went to Bible school in the South, and so we got a lot of Southern accent all the time and Southern illustrations. But this guy was from the sticks. He wasn't educated at all. But he was giving his testimony about how he got born again. And he was sharing, and it was real simple because it was way back in the backwoods. Anybody ever met anybody from the backwoods? I worked with a guy from the backwoods of Kentucky. Yeah. It was interesting. They didn't have dentists. They had pliers. I'm not kidding. He was 33 and had a full set of dentures. I'm like, dude, brush your teeth. You know? But they just didn't know any better. They're just uneducated in those things. But they believe God. They believe God. They saw miracles happen. But this one gentleman was sharing his testimony, and he said, yeah, I was praying, and I said, Lord, you think it'd be all right if I got saved? He said, Lord, I'd like to receive you. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, okie dokie. Jesus speaks backwood, hick, Kentucky, you know what I mean, or whatever. But he also speaks Chinese. Come on, everything. God's not like trying to learn the languages of the world. It'd be all right. Go ahead. Get saved. Our answer, our peace in the midst of trouble is in Him. It's in Him. You're not going to find an answer somewhere else. Now, the Lord may lead you in some things if you're going through stuff. You know, sometimes people have decisions to make on medical stuff or, you know, financial stuff, different things like that. The Lord's going to lead you through this earth. He's going to help you through the process of things. But He's the answer in all of it. He's the leading in all of it. And so we need to realize that, accept it, and receive it. Let me read a couple of different translations of this verse. In the BBE, it says this, I have said all these things to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I like that. Take heart. In the Complete Jewish Bible, it says this, I have said these things to you so that united with me, you may have shalom or peace. In the world, you have trouble, but be brave. Be brave. In the name of Jesus, be brave. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, it's Goliath. Stand there with your sling and your stones and go, I'm putting this thing in between your eyes and I'm lopping your head off. When the enemy comes at you, be brave. Be strong. Amen. I have conquered the world. In the Good News Translation, it says this, I have told you this so that you will have peace by being united to me. I like that. The world will make you suffer. Hallelujah. But be brave. I have defeated the world. Hallelujah. The Living Bible says, I have told you all this so that you will have peace of heart and mind. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but cheer up. I love it. Turn to your neighbor and say, cheer up. Cheer up, he says, for I have overcome the world. Well, don't you know what's going on? There's wildfires over here and there's hurricanes on, you know, in Texas and Florida and it's flooded and da-da-da-da-da. And yeah, cheer up. You're not going to do the world any good being depressed. Cheer up. You're not going to do your family any good being depressed. You're not going to do your kids any good being depressed. You're not going to do your boss or your fellow employees any good being depressed. You won't do your spouse any good being depressed. Cheer up. Jesus has overcome the world. Amen. You might as well enjoy it. You only got so many heartbeats down here anyway. And besides that, when you do get out of here, it's all good. It's all good, amen? He says, cheer up. In the Message, it says this, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. Boy, that's good. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I've conquered the world. I like that, take heart. The Weymouth says, I have spoken all this to you in order that in me you may have peace. In the world you have affliction, but keep up your courage. I have won the victory over the world. Keep up your courage. Keep it up. That sounds like there's a responsibility on us. Huh? I'm going to keep up courage. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to. I'm going to keep up courage. Well, how's this going to work? I'm going to keep up courage. In the Amplified, I like the Amplified. You guys have heard me say this. It's the woman's Bible. It's got way more words than the rest. I mean, I put an Amplified scripture in my notes. It's like the page goes, whoo. You know, it's like, oh. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. How many have ever had frustration? But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted. Be undaunted. This looks bad. I am undaunted. I love it. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Trouble comes up in your life, you need to look at it and go, you've been deprived of power to harm me. Yeah. You do not have the right to harm me. You've been deprived in the law of faith, in the law of the Spirit, in the Spirit of faith, by the promise of God, in the name of Jesus, you are deprived of power to harm me. You have no right. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm just down here for a stint just to take the devil out and take as many people with me as I can to heaven. But I am not a resident of this earth. I am not a resident of hell. I am a resident of heaven. I am a child of the living God. I have been born again. I am not under the kingdom of darkness. I've been translated out into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The Spirit that resides in me has conquered all of hell. Well, you think you're something. No, but you ought to meet my Jesus. He's deprived it of power. The Passion Translation says this, everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. Boy, I love that. In this unbelieving world, which is the problem, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. My answer's in Him. How about yours? Lastly, this morning. That was just the introduction. I literally only preached a page and a half to you. My first thing this morning, and there'll be a few points in this. How do we live? What do we do in trouble? We looked at a few things out of John 16, 33. This point, do not give in to fear. Do not give in to fear. Hate fear, reject fear, resist fear, attack fear. Do not give in to fear. Come against it. Fight hard and use the scripture. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says this, fear not, for I am with you. I love it. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. You see the two sides of this? Fear not, for I am with you. When fear comes, you go, no, I'm not afraid. No. He's with me. He's in me. When fear comes to you, when dismay comes to you, say, no. No, you can't stay here. He is my God. He is my God. When those things come against you, I am with you. I am your God, God says to you. Then he says this, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. That's Isaiah 41:10. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Come on now, this is so good. God's with me. He's my God. He strengthens me. He helps me, and he holds me up. He holds me up. I've got his strength. I've got his ability. I've got his right hand literally holding me up. And he holds me with what? His righteous right hand. Well, who's seated at the right hand? Jesus. In Christ, I'm righteous. I'm in. Amen? He says this. The word strengthen means to be alert physically and mentally. I like that. You ever felt something come against you and you feel like the physical strength is drained out of you and the mental alertness is like gone? Have you ever felt that before? Am I the only one? In that moment, you go, no, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Fear, leave in Jesus' name. Guys, I know this seems simple, but these principles, if you begin to practice them, you'll be like a new person in 3 weeks. People will look at you and go, what happened? And you say, I stopped being afraid. You will turn the tables on the enemy. Now, I'm not telling you that you won't have a trouble or a trial. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you how to overcome, resist fear. Make fear your enemy. Make it your enemy. It is your enemy. And attack it. And have you ever noticed fear attaches itself to all sorts of things? Oh, the gas prices are going to go up. The gas prices are going to go up. Oh, no. God didn't know that the gas prices were going to go up. Right? The loaf of bread price. It's the loaf of bread price. People freak out about this stuff. Don't throw that margarine container away. That's a good container. And you open one of their drawers, and there's 9,000 margarine containers in there with lids. Are you using these for anything? No, but, you know, who knows? You know, Armageddon might happen. You'll go to their house. They'll be dressed in margarine bottles, containers. Man, I wish I could think of that stuff. I don't, though. It just comes. Holy Spirit helps us laugh. Cheer up! Cheer up! Joy! Well, it doesn't make sense. No, it makes faith. The scripture doesn't make sense. It makes faith. Some of you are still laughing about the margarine containers. You know, it's the that's still good mentality. Yeah, they make new ones every day. Right? Your God is able to take care of you. I didn't get to it in here. We'll have to pick it up next week. But I'm telling you, David, or the psalmist made statements like, though the mountains fall into the sea, I'll not be afraid. That's supernatural. This is not like some sort of, you know, have you ever seen, you see athletes do this, and I think sometimes soldiers do it too, but they try and work up some sort of courage. And really, they just hype themselves up into a place where they're so emotionally driven that they just run into whatever's going on. This is a faith. This is an empowerment from the Holy Spirit, from these scriptures, that is beyond your ability to create it. You're not reaching into the depths of faith in you or your own courage or guts, you're taking out of the supply of the fearlessness of God and functioning in it. Do you see that? That'll help you. Because sometimes I think we take the scripture and we go, yeah, I got to come up with this. No, no. All you have to do is take it. All you have to do is take it. God's already provided it. You take it. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything? Yeah. If you didn't, you were sleeping. Praise God. Because I got stuff. You know, it's just fun for me to teach it. Now, I have no idea why God picked me, okay? So don't try and explain it to me either, because it's not going to work. I've had people try and explain it to me. It doesn't work. You don't know. I don't know why God called me to preach. I mean, I graduated high school with a 2.45 grade point average. That's pretty good. I made it. I didn't go to college. I mean, I went to Bible college, but I didn't, you know, I don't have any. We have nothing without God. You know, people have said to me before, you know, your families, you know, you guys are kind of go-getters. No, 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 we have faith. I mean, we're go-getters, but we have faith. We believe. We're taught to believe. 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 Just believe. I don't know how it's going to, and you can say it out loud. I do this. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but thank you that you're working it out. Because I'm not going to take it on. It's not my job to pay the bills. It's his church. You know, it's like, yeah, it's his church. You're his kid. Didn't spare his own son. Well, how are you going to get people to be born again? It's not my job. I just share the message. You better yield to the Holy Ghost or you're going to end up in hell. Well, now you're manipulating people. No, no, no. It's just what the scripture says. I'll be nice to you either way. I'll love you either way. It's just that. It is that way. It's exactly that way. Well, I just don't believe that. That's on you, not on me. That's on you, not on me. I said what God told me to say. So someday I'll stand before him and go, Sean, you did it. You did all I asked you. See, I live with this constant kind of, I know I'm going to die. Yeah. I'm aware that I'm going to die. And you know what comes right after death? I get to stand before him. Everybody does. And you know what I'm after? Him saying, well done. That's it. The rest of this life, all the entertainment, all the things that this world and the U.S. and the world itself has to offer, all that stuff just keeps losing its taste and losing its taste and losing its desire and losing all of that. The closer I get to God, when it's all said and done, I'm going there. That's what I'm having said about me. I can't make that happen for you. Only you can decide that for you. There is nothing in this life that is worth forfeiting standing in front of him and him going, good job. You did it. Not perfectly, but you did it. Amen? But I'm not going to use the not perfectly excuse to go, I'm going to kind of serve God. I don't know. No, that ain't me. That's not who I am. I'm going to keep going. Yeah, I'm going to forget those things that are behind and press toward the mark. Amen? Hallelujah. If you'd bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're in here today and you've either not given your life to the Lord or you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, you hauled off and years passed, you served the Lord, but now you ran off and just haven't been close to him. Either one of those, on those occasions, either one of those situations fit you. I'd like to pray with you this morning. If you just raise your hand where you're at, I'm going to pray with you where you're at. if you want to rededicate your life, or if you've never given your life to the Lord. Thank you. Anybody else? You just want to get it right. You can. I got to see your hand, though, and everybody's standing, so you need to raise it high. If that's you, raise your hand. Okay. Father, I just thank you for this one that's lifted their hand to you. Let's all just pray this. Just say this. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I come before the throne of grace and mercy. Lord, I need mercy because I've done my own thing. It was wrong. I know it was wrong. And I repent. And I receive mercy and grace, cleansing of the blood of Jesus, of all unrighteousness, freeing me of every sin in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe he went to hell for me. And I believe he was raised for me. And I was raised with him. I receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your service today. We thank you for your presence here today. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys are free to go. We'll see you Wednesday night. Don't forget about the Bible study. And then we do have ministry for all the kids as well. If you're a visitor, please go get a shirt. If you raise your hand, get a new believer's packet back there. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.